The book of the Acts, chapter 2, and for sake of connection, we'll read at verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There are various ways in which one might attempt a consideration of the growth of the church. We might consider the growth of the church territorially. And I rather imagine our brother Rogers will deal with that when he treats of the missionary enterprise of the church. We might think of the growth of the church spiritually, and this we shall be considering in our Bible readings at James Street Gospel Hall. Tonight we're going to consider the growth of the church numerically. As I thought of the growth of the church numerically, my mind went to the question asked of the Lord in Luke chapter 13. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. It is quite remarkable that Luke should say that while one asked the question, he answered not him, but he answered them. The Lord seems to take into account that the question was asked more or less out of curiosity, and thus he did not answer the questioner, he addressed himself to the company. I should like to say just this: how many or how few might be saved must never be permitted to influence the seeking sinner. Only his or her conviction of his need before the Lord. And furthermore, must the fewness, nor the many who might be receiving salvation, influence the mind of the seeking saint. Only one thing must influence the mind of the seeking saint, and that is the Word of God, only and always governed and guided by the Word of God. The account of the growth of the church in the book of the Acts is most thrilling. The Acts not only gives us an account of the birth of the church, but it gives to us a fascinating account of the growth of the church. Just when our Lord's mission in this world had suffered apparent defeat, he had been crucified. His followers had been in hiding behind shut doors because of the fear of the Jews, and everything seemed to be lost. A new work sprang into life, and those fearful disciples with great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Here were men without college training, without silver or gold, without a supporting society, without any human patronage. And despite the hostility of both the religious and the civil powers, they fearlessly preached a message which condemned, on the one hand, heathen idolatry, and showed, on the other hand, that Judaism, with its ritual, had now been superseded. And despite intimidation, despite imprisonment, despite scourging and martyrdom, these men pressed on. And the work of God in the book of the Acts, we discover, it grew prodigiously. The choice of words by Luke in the book of the Acts, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, of course, portray the growth of the church in a most fascinating and soul-stirring fashion. I wonder if you've noticed, the Luke employs certain numerals and nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives with a numeral association. He employs them in increasing force to make us to become acquainted with the amazing growth of the church in the book of the Acts. I repeat, he employed not only numerals, but nouns and adverbs and adjectives with a numerical association. He employs them with increasing force to convey to the reader how the church in those days grew. Let me explain what I mean. With regard to numerals, we cannot but notice how Luke impresses us with the increase of the growth of the church. In Acts chapter 1, Luke speaks in terms of hundreds. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, Luke speaks in terms of thousands. And when we come to Acts chapter 21, Luke speaks in terms of myriads. And we shall see later that the word myriad, spoken by James in Acts chapter 21, means tens of thousands. Thus there we have the growth numerically, from hundreds to thousands, and from thousands to tens of thousands. Then Luke employs different verbs to convey to our mind the increase and the growth of the church. Two verbs in particular. He uses the verb to add, and he uses the verb to multiply. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the same day were added about 3,000 souls. The same chapter in verse 47, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Chapter 5, verse 14, and the believers were the more added. Not merely added, but the more added, or perhaps as it should read. And believers were more than ever added to the Lord. Then Acts chapter 11, verse 24, and much people, or as you should read, a large crowd was added unto the Lord. And we observe the growth of the church by the employment of this verb to add. Then Luke employs the verb to multiply. Acts 6, verse 1, and in those days the number of the disciples was multiplied. Notice the change in language in that same chapter in verse 7. Acts 6, verse 7, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Not only did they multiply, but verse 7 says they multiplied greatly. Then we have the same verb in Acts chapter 9. Churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord were multiplied. Now it's not just disciples that are multiplied, but churches are multiplied. Hitherto it has been the church at Jerusalem, but now with the churches in all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Then we discover that Luke employs certain adjectives. We think of two adjectives with a numerical association. He used the adjective many. He used the adjective great. All impressing us with the remarkable growth of the early church. At Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 4, Peter had just been preaching. And verse 4 tells us that many of them which heard the word believed. In Acts chapter 9, at Joppa, after that Dorcas had been raised to life, we're told in verse 42 that many believed in the Lord. In Acts chapter 17, at Berea, we're told, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, not a few. Notice how Luke mentions there, not only did many believe, but also of honorable women. A point that I've noticed is just this. In Acts chapter 16, the apostle is at Troas, and it was there he had that vision in the night. There stood that man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Europe. Come over here into Macedonia and help us, said this man in the vision. And Paul went over into Europe, and he came to Philippi. And the amazing thing at Philippi, despite that it was a man who beckoned him to come over, the first convert was a woman. And that woman came from Asia, from whence Paul had just come. She was Lydia of Thyatira. Then Paul moves from Philippi to Thessalonica. And at Thessalonica, we're told of chief women, not a few. Then from Thessalonica to Berea, and these honorable women were saved. And from Berea to Athens, and they were read of that woman named Damaris. And to me it is most striking that when the gospel was preached in Europe, we read repeatedly of women being saved. I suppose if you were to take the census of those who were here tonight, you would discover that women would be in the majority, and thus invariably it is. And that's how the gospel started in Europe. Come over and help us. And Paul goes on preaching, and women are being saved particularly. Then we have this word, many, in Acts chapter 18. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. What kind of people were they? Why, says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he adds, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Thank God for those many Corinthians. Despite their being in debased and degraded sin, they were reached by the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 19, the gospel has been preached in idolatrous Ephesus, and we're told that many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And the same chapter says many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them. And thus we have this little word many recurring. Then we have the adjective great. Acts chapter 6 verse 7. And a great company, the word is a great crowd of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 11. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. These were Gentiles at Antioch. A great crowd of Gentiles. Acts chapter 14. A great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Acts 14 verse 1. And thus there we have in remarkable language the growth of the church in the book of the Acts. But the growth of the church, as is always the case, brought with it problems. Two significant words occur in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Notice the two words, multiplication and murmuring. And my dear brethren, these often go together. Multiplication can so often bring with it murmuring. And here we have the first growth problem in the church. And what was this? It was due to the fact that there was in fellowship in the church at Jerusalem converted Hebrews and converted Hellenists, converted Hebrew-speaking Jews and converted Greek-speaking Jews, and fleshly rivalry bred discontent, and this led to murmuring. The first growth problem was murmuring. Then in Acts chapter 8 we have the conversion of the Samaritans. Those Samaritans with whom the Jews had no dealings are now sharing in the growth of the church and the spread of the gospel. And Peter and John, they visit them, and they do what only the grace of God could have enabled them to do, converted Jews, laying their hands upon these Samaritans. Then, as has so often been the case, growth brought with it the problem of an empty profession. The growth of the church in the book of the Acts in chapter 8 brought with it the problem of an empty profession. I refer to the case of Simon. And we're told of Simon in Acts chapter 8 that Simon believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles which were done. Notice, he continued not with the Lord, he continued with Philip. And he wondered why. as he beheld the miracles. Here we have this empty professor who was evidently only attached to the preacher and captivated by the goings on. And this can attend growth and multiplication as well. In Acts chapter 10, there was another great problem. In Acts chapter 10, the growth of the church would now include the Gentiles. And we think of Peter's visit to Cornelius. And this posed a problem. For in the following chapter, the circumcision of Jerusalem, they contended with Peter. Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. And here was a problem that remained for a long time with the early church. In fact, later on, but for the Apostle Paul, that great champion of the faith, withstanding Peter to the face, there might have been a caste system introduced into the early church. Then, of course, the gospel was preached in Thessalonica. The gospel was preached at Corinth. At both Thessalonica and Corinth, idol worshippers were saved. In Acts chapter 17 at Thessalonica, we would have thought that only Jews had been saved. But from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, we learn that the majority of the converts there were idol worshippers. They turned to God from idols. And of course, immorality and fornication accompanied the religion of these idol worshippers, and this raised a problem both at Thessalonica and at Corinth. Thus Paul had to say to these Thessalonians, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. And we know the dreadful problem amongst the saints at Corinth when Paul had to say, wherefore put away from amongst yourselves that wicked person. Thus the growth of the church brought with it problems. You know, dear brethren, sometimes I feel that we would like to choose whom we would have in fellowship. We would almost like to choose whom the Lord would save, but that we cannot do. The gospel was preached in the religious centers of Jerusalem and Samaria. It was preached in idolatrous Ephesus. It was preached in immoral Corinth. And souls were saved in all of these cities. The poor, the rich, the high, the low, the God-fearing and idolaters. The growth of the church embraced them all. But now let us come back briefly to the numerals that are employed in the book of the Acts. Acts chapter 1 says, the number of the names together were about 120. 120. There were evidently more disciples then than merely 120. Recently the Lord risen from the dead had been seen by about 500 brethren at once, but here 120 are mentioned. At least 10 times more than Jacob's sons, who were the nucleus of the 12 tribes of Israel. 120 mentioned in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000. This, no doubt, is in contrast to the giving of the law. When in Exodus chapter 33, because of the worship of the golden calf, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. When the law was given, 3,000 were slain. When the gospel was preached on that day of Pentecost, on the birthday of the church, 3,000 were saved. Then in Acts chapter 4, the number of the men was about 5,000. Interesting to observe, it says the number of the men. This makes us, of course, to think of the feeding of the 5,000. Luke chapter 9, for there were about 5,000 men. John chapter 6, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And thou wast thus the one who, when he was here, could feed the hungry, could in no less measure save the perishing in such numbers now that he'd gone back to heaven. Acts chapter 21, said James, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And we observe here that the word for thousands is the word myriads. The word literally means 10,000s. Thou seest, brother, how many tens of thousands there are which believe. It's the same word as occurs in Acts chapter 19. When they burned their books in witchcraft and were told, they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. The Greek is 5 myriad pieces of silver, or 5 times 10,000 pieces of silver. But my dear brethren, most important, I believe, is this. It's the same word as occurs in Revelation 5 when John says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." It's the same word as Acts chapter 21. And here in the book of the Acts, early in the history of the church, and before this book closes, there is envisaged in the record of the church's growth the transcendent bliss of heaven, when 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands will surround the throne and ascribe their praise unto him. So much for the numerals. Think of the verbs with numeral associations. They further speak of the growth of the church. And we come back to this verb to add. Acts 2 verse 41 says, "The same day were added about 3,000 souls." Notice the expression, "the same day." That is, they were added in one day about 3,000. What a day this must have been in Jerusalem, when under the preaching of Peter, that unlettered, unlearned man, men and women were brought under conviction, their hearts were pricked, and they were heard to cry, "What shall we do?" And in one day, 3,000 souls were saved. Notice the occurrence of this verb added again. The same chapter, verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Verse 41 says, "the same day." That is, in one day. But verse 47 says, "they were added daily." Thus, this addition became a daily matter. One day added 3,000. And as the thing grew, they were added daily. It became a daily matter. This is confirmed in chapter 16. "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in the number daily." And my dear brethren, that is still obtaining. The numbers are increasing daily, I believe. Then it was very localized. But souls are being added daily still today. You know, I love to think of the one pearl of great price of Matthew 13 speaking to us in a delightful fashion of the church. One pearl. The pearl, the only jewel which, if it be broken, it loses its value. The only jewel that's the product of suffering. The jewel that's taken out of the sea, a people taken out of the nations. And how was the pearl formed? Layer upon layer upon layer. That's how the church is being formed. The Lord is adding daily. Then the word occurs in Acts chapter 5 again. "And believers were the more added to the Lord." Added the same day. Added daily. Acts chapter 5. "And believers," as it should read, "were the more than ever added to the Lord." I wonder why Luke says "more than ever added to the Lord." We shall be learning in a few moments of the tragic event that overtook the church in Jerusalem. Ananias and Sapphira are carried out dead. But despite that tragedy, instead of the work being impeded, said Luke, it grew more and more. And my dear brethren, the church has suffered many setbacks over the years. And the church still suffers setbacks, even today. And praise God, the work goes on more than ever. One could deal with these things, but time doesn't permit. Then Acts chapter 11, "And much people was added unto the Lord." The word is, a large crowd was added to the Lord. How did this come about? How was this large crowd added to the Lord? Well, this was the result of the dispersion consequent upon the stoning of Stephen. The dispersion, they spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and a large crowd were added to the Lord. The result of Stephen's stoning was this: a large crowd was added to the Lord. You know, I think of another brother of the same name, Tom Stephen of Peterhead. Just before the Lord took our brother Tom Stephen home, and there are those from Peterhead tonight who can confirm this, the Bible class in Peterhead had some very unruly young men. The Bible class teacher at the time was our brother Alec McLean. His heart was broken, and many a time he was tempted to give the whole matter up. A brother went there for meetings, and these young men attended the meetings and disrupted the meetings, and he felt like giving up the continuation of these meetings. But they persisted. And when Tom Stephen went down in the quiet waters with his son, his brother and his nephew, all of these young men were saved, brought to Christ. The result of the persecution of Stephen was this: a large crowd was added unto the Lord. Now, I see my time is going too fast. We ask ourselves this question now. Who were added? Acts 2, the same day were added about 3,000 souls. Souls were added. Brethren, do you look upon the people around you, so many souls? When I read Acts chapter 2, I almost always think of the nautical distress signal, save our souls. Why, said Peter in Acts chapter 2, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. And they were saved, and they were added. Souls were saved and added. Acts chapter 2, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Souls were added, Acts 2:41. Saved ones were added, Acts 2 verse 47. For that's how that ought to read. And the Lord added to the church daily saved ones. It's the character of those who were added, saved ones. But Acts chapter 5 is interesting. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Souls were added, saved ones were added. Now Acts chapter 5, men and women were added. And what makes this remarkable? Well, it wasn't just a male society or a female society. Men and women were added, but there's something deeper than that. In Acts chapter 5, a man and a woman had just been carried out dead, Ananias and Sapphira. The young men of the church carry them out and bury them. And this became well known in Jerusalem. Surely this is going to be an end to the testimony. Surely the saints will have to go in hiding. But not so. Multitudes were added. And says Luke, men and women, a man and a woman carried out dead. Multitudes added, both of men and women. My dear brethren, the Lord can still put to account any tragedy that overcomes any assembly if they will deal with it faithfully and with divine wisdom. Observe too that added means more than so many individuals being added to a list. Look again at these verses. Acts 2 verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. Now it is true, there were exceptional circumstances in the book of the Acts, but my brother, my sister, I want to say this tonight. This adding in Acts chapter 2 was not just being added to an invisible fellowship of the Spirit. I believe they were added to the church at Jerusalem. And I believe that here we have not only the mind of God that all should be added to a local church, but the divine order in this matter still. And what is the divine order? Receiving the word, being baptized, and being added. You know, my dear brethren, it's because of departure from this simple pattern many assemblies today have found themselves in unnecessary difficulties. Then Acts 2 verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now no doubt many will notice that the word church really is not here. In fact, the first occurrence of the word church is in Acts chapter 5, where we read, great fear came up in all the church. That's the first occurrence of the word church in the book of the Acts. This verse ought to read, "And the Lord added together such as should be saved." Number one, my dear brethren, it was the Lord who added. This shows the importance of being in a local assembly. The Lord adds. And my dear brethren, if he adds, I cannot leave nor disassociate myself lightly. I must have good, sound, scriptural reasons. And if the Lord adds me, I must feel the weight of responsibility when I'm there. The Lord added me. I must feel my responsibility when there. What was it that made the assemblies the power for God they were not so many decades ago? Just this. Assembly fellowship wasn't a secondary consideration. It was a priority. Faithful men and women of God sacrificed everything to put themselves wholeheartedly into the business. Many a time my dear father came home from his work, I've pulled his blue flannel shirt off his back, hadn't the power to do it. Taken his boots off and poured the perspiration down the sink. He's had a wash in the mirror and said it's prayer meeting, and up the hill he would walk. That's what made the assemblies what they were not so many decades ago. They recognized the Lord added them, and they felt the tremendous responsibility. But I must close. The Lord added together. And thus, they were added together, indicating that the togetherness of the church was a very serious matter. They were added together. You'll notice how the togetherness of the church is brought before us frequently in the book of the Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. The number of the names together were about 120. Acts 2, verse 1. They were all with one accord in one place, or as he should read, they were all together in one place. Acts 2, 44. And all that believed were together. Thus they were added on the basis of togetherness. Ah, the church enjoyed togetherness in those days, not just at stated meetings, but this was a togetherness that marked them all the time, happy and glad to meet each other any day, any hour of the day. Acts 5, and here I must close, believers were the more added to the Lord, added by the Lord, and added to the Lord. Now let me just say this. We live in a day when there is a tremendous emphasis on great things. So many Christians are not only attracted to great things, but they appear only to be interested in great things. Well, I believe, my dear brethren, that the greater part of the work of God today is unseen and unheard of. And what a reversal of man's assessment there's going to be at the judgment seat. Many who are well known and well publicized will have to give place to individuals unknown and unheard of. And it may be, as we've thought of this addition and multiplication, the many and the multitudes in the book of the Acts, some dear servant here tonight feels that his contribution cannot be compared with this, and they feel disheartened. Well, the book of the Acts abounds with individual encounters and individual cases of conversion, which is tremendously important, and it's not without significance that servant of the Lord who preached the gospel in Corinth, Ephesus, Thessalonica, the last chapter says, "And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not." That was Paul's experience in the hired room. Some believed, and some believed not.